I love coming here because it seems to open something prophetically for me, because it's, you know, you're a very prophetic bunch of people. And so for me, I love being in that sort of atmosphere, because, you know, when you get into that sort of atmosphere, things open up. And I just want to encourage you that, I want to encourage you that God is really good. Because I don't know whether you've noticed or not, but there's a lot of favor on the Waikato at the moment. Yeah. Go the Chiefs, yeah. But it's just, you know, like the netball and the, you know, the rugby and all that sort of thing, and a lot of the medals have actually at the Olympics have come out of the Waikato, in that sense that, you know, Mark Todd and the rowers, you know, championships are in Cambridge, and even though they're not from Cambridge, a lot of them, they actually compete there. So I've been thinking about that, and I've been thinking about the favour that's on the Waikato. And I shouldn't be surprised, and I just want to share a couple of things with you, and I hope it doesn't spook the horses, because it's like, you know, like, you know that you've got people cheering you on in heaven, don't you? You know those that have gone before, they're not just up there sitting around waiting for you to get there. They're actually up there, and, you know, there are times and seasons where God opens portals and they can see in and they can see what's going on, and they cheer you on. Because they've gone, you know, they've invested into the Waikato, they've invested into you, and, you know, family, generations past, they've invested something into you, and they're actually looking for a return on their investment. And so when they see this return on their investment starting to bear much fruit, they start cheering and shouting and praising the Lord. And so, you know, I believe that, you know, these things are really going on quite a bit over the Waikato at the moment. And why I'm saying that is because I have a prophetic seer friend who actually runs a little fellowship in Port Waikato. Now, there's not a big population in Port Waikato, but it is the head of the river. Or the mouth of the river, where it's, you know, like, so you can look at it prophetically where the river speaks. And just recently, there have been a number of Maori folk, but also Pākehā folk, who have been hearing and seeing Christian Maori saints that have gone before standing at the mouth of the river calling Holy Spirit. And so if the mouth is calling the Holy Spirit, the mouth of the Waikato, then to me something is up in the Waikato. Now, I can't share with you much about... I can share with you that a really senior person prophetically in New Zealand has felt a call to go to Taupo. And why has him and his wife felt to go to Taupo? Because it's like the heart of the Waikato. And he has this passion and this burning desire in his heart that something needs to start pumping out of Taupo that's going to affect the whole of the Waikato. So that's happening. So in the mouth of the river, the sound of the call of the Holy Spirit, which to me is the indigenous sound of the land, is calling Holy Spirit in. And it's very real. People are just hearing it, non-Christians as well, which is pretty freaky for them. And then, you know, the heart of the Waikato, I believe, is Taupo. So if the heart of the Waikato is Taupo, then the lungs are Hamilton. Because it straddles, like, so the lungs straddle both sides of the main artery, don't they? And so Hamilton straddles both sides of the main artery. So Hamilton is like the lungs of the Waikato. So what do the lungs do? Well, they breathe. And then they breathe in and they breathe out. And I believe that the Lord was speaking to me just as I was about to come up about, you know, the function of Hamilton and the city. You know, the area around is to breathe out the Holy Spirit on the land, both with words, with actions, and I had a vision in 2006 over much of the country, and the Lord showed me that the Waikato was going to become so prosperous both in the spirit and in the natural that it would become like the food basket of the kingdom. So not just in you know, we already know that it's you know, the food basket in the sense of the dairy industry, but But I want to say that there's something about the Waikato that's about to burst forth. Amen. And so I'm just sharing these things because they're just on my heart. I believe that there is favour on you at the moment, great favour, and that God is about to bring his favour into the visible realm. So, you know, sometimes favour is picked up in the spirit and, you know, you might be having a hard time. We've had a pretty hard time this week, to be honest. I hadn't been that well during the week, and then I'm well now. But it's just like one of those weeks where things just haven't gone really that well. But God is good, and actually there's favour in the atmosphere. So I want to declare that over you because there's power in declaration. I want to declare the favour of God over you, and over the lungs, over the breath of this fellowship, over the breath of every family represented here. You know, breathe him in, and as you breathe him in, you breathe out the substance that he's created in your body. So I believe that Holy Ghost is up to something in the Waikato. I live in the Waikato. Auckland didn't want us. And so we're officially in the Waikato where we live. So you know, I'm happy about that. Okay. So I just wanted to share something. I want to share that with you, but I want to share with you today that you know, there's two types of Christianity. Well, there's several types actually, but for today, there's two types that there are. There's the contemplative Christianity, which is good and valid and right, and you know, the soaking, the contemplative part of Christianity is really good and absolutely necessary for the life of the church. But if all we do is become contemplative, then we become monastic and sterile in our expression of Christianity. Then there's the other extreme, which is governmental Christianity, which is very black and white and very this and that, and you know, quite South African. And it's all right, I come from it. It's all right, I love South Africans. But it's good. I mean, that's good. I mean, it's not a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's, you know, because Kiwis can be a bit slack, you know, and South Africans, you know, can, you know, are more black and white in their thinking, and we need them in this nation. And God has brought a lot of South Africans into this land to actually, you know, give us a bit of a prod with a stick, you know, to start moving governmentally. And I believe that's a good thing, but the extreme of governmental Christianity is legalism, and also that is sterile. And so I believe that Holy Spirit is really speaking at the moment about bringing, you know, us into a place where we're both contemplative and governmental. Because if we're just one or the other, then we're sterile and we don't reproduce after ourselves. But God wants, see, the whole deal of church is that church is family, and the whole deal with family is that family reproduces after itself. Oranges reproduce after themselves, apples reproduce after themselves, cows reproduce after themselves, and Christians are called to reproduce after themselves as family. You know that, you know, if there's just a bunch of monks sitting around, you know contemplating, which is good. I mean, I could do that for the rest of my life easily. But there's not a lot of reproductive activity, you know, in a situation like that. And when people get so harsh in their governmental judgment, you know, then it's not attractive and it doesn't breed intimacy. And so it's out of intimacy that we get reproduction. And so Holy Ghost is calling his church to come to that place of both being contemplative and governmental. And so, like, when he introduces something to the body, if you like, often we pendulum swing, don't we? So that we pendulum this way. Yes, this is the way, you know, we're seeing God. Because he needs to actually have extreme forerunners to actually get the message out there. Yeah. And then in the same way with the governmental thing, you know, we've needed that extreme thing because God needs to bring, you know, some government to his people. And he does. So But I want to say this one thing, that in all of what I've just said, there's absolutely nothing stable about sitting in the presence of God. Because the moment, you know, at any moment he can break through. Clive actually said, when the sound went up, that's like the suddenly of God woke us up. And actually, that's what God wants to do. The suddenlies of God bring, you know, this glory that's about to smash into the earth. Now, when somebody prophetic stands up, now, this is the good news. I've just been to a prophetic hui, which for me was a real privilege. I've just been whinging to the Lord that, you know, like people call me a prophet and I'm thinking, oh, whatever. But it's like, you know, I never get invited to prophetic huis or anything like this that, you know, that are happening in the nation. And I'm thinking that, you know, okay, God, you know, if you really think I'm a prophet, then it's time that, you know, like that somebody actually acknowledged. I mean, people acknowledge it in churches and things, but anyway, nationally, I'm talking about. And I don't want to be a noter. I just wanted to. I felt I had something to say. And the very next day, the phone rings, and the Lord made me feel like, you know, 3 feet tall. Well, I'm only a bit over that anyway, but. And the deal was there was a prophetic hui and it just happened to be in Pukekohe. And I thought, God, how amazing is this? I mean, and anyway, it's good to know that actually you're not daft. Because, you hear things in the spirit and you're seeing things and you're feeling things. Trish talked about that, you know. And actually, you need a lot of encouragement when you're that sort of person. Because actually, you know, because you're a see, feely, touchy sort of a person, you know, you actually need a lot of encouragement. I really bless you for the way you've blessed this couple. Because, like, they're awesome. I mean, look at this. I was just looking around a minute ago, actually, thinking, wow, what a bunch of mature people. Actually, that are gathered here, and you know that's actually not easy to pull together. You know, like when you get Clive and Trish will be blessed because you're a bunch of mature people. But I mean, that says something about the quality of the leadership here too, because mature people only stay where they feel comfortable, and a lot of mature people actually don't feel comfortable very many places at the moment. At the moment, so it's fairly hard for people to find fellowship. So I want to bless these two as well, and they deserve the gold medal, and bless them. Yeah, you know that the Australian guy. Oh, no, I won't say. There was an Australian. Did you see that Herald article that said the Australian guy, if there was a medal for being stupid, one of the Australian rowers got drunk and threw a flower box through a window because he thought it was his house and he couldn't get inside. So he got sent home. So they said he should have a gold medal for being stupid. But anyway, that was just beside the point. So what I was saying is in this hui that people are feeling exactly the same thing, that you know, even though we're looking for something, it's actually here and it's happening. And it's actually an indigenous move of God. And by indigenous, I mean, you know, indigenous people, but I also mean indigenous to the land. Yeah. And so God is about to do something very special in this nation. And I want to encourage you that you've got what it takes. God has brought people, you know, from South Africa and Zimbabwe and you know, like we all come from somewhere to this nation. Why? Because God has a plan and a purpose, and he knows just exactly the right mix that it's going to take to bring some sort of outbreak that's neither monastic nor totally governmental, but something that is going to bring an extreme power and glory and suddenly into the kingdom of God. That's not just going to be wrapped around New Zealand's shores, if you like, but it's going to break out into the nations. At one stage, New Zealand was, per head of population, the greatest missionary sending country on the face of the earth. Now we're about number 26, I think. But would that be right? Yeah. But you know, we're not number one any longer. But that's about to change, because when God moves in a nation, then it brings a whole other generation of people who are just passionate and filled with something of a message that the world needs to hear. And quite frankly, the world hasn't really wanted to hear anything that we've had to say, you know, over the past few years, because New Zealand's been finding her own feet. And God really wants us to find our own feet. And I love, you know, the Americans that are coming in. I love they've all got something to offer, the speakers and things that are coming in. Everybody that's coming in has got something to offer. But all the prophets without fail that were at the Hui had the same word from the Lord, that God was about to raise something up indigenous that those from overseas would be coming in to look at rather than to tell us how to run it. And I believe that's true. And if you look at this little nation at the end of the earth right now, we're, you know, from a gold medal point of view, we're actually number one in the world per head of population. You know, like we've got one medal per nearly 500,000 people or something, which is, you know, like pretty scary stuff, really. It is scary. Because actually, you know, when you go to some, even go to Australia, you know, you go to Melbourne, the whole city of Melbourne is bigger than New Zealand, population-wise now. You know, like, and Sydney's bigger than New Zealand now. And so, you know, we're just the size of a city. And yet God causes us to punch above our weight. And this is, it's time, Kiwis, stop putting ourselves down. We're not a nation that should be putting ourselves down. It's inverted pride to say, oh yeah, but we can't be boastful or proudful. We've got to stop this inverted pride business, come out of ourselves and say, we can't help it, we're awesome. God's made us that way. And God is about to bring your awesomeness to the notification of the world. I'm quite serious about this, and I think, you know what, the Lord was speaking, I'm speaking right off the hoof here. So I feel what the Lord was speaking to me at the beginning of the meeting, and I started writing it down, which is when I got my microphone put on, was just absolutely something about the Waikato as being part of this pumping, life-giving force that is the Holy Ghost that is about to invade the nations. And take it or leave it, you know, but so there's nothing stable about sitting in the presence of God, because in your quiet meditation, in your quiet meditation, anything can erupt at any minute, like a volcanic eruption, you know, boom, and she's all on. I notice stuff. And one thing that I've noticed is that for the first time since 1897, Mount Tongariro is rumbling. Now, that might not seem, you know, it's a volcano, for goodness sake. Well, to me, it's significant. There was another significant event happened. New Zealand and Israel are really tied together because we're like the ends of the earth. Israel's like the center of the earth. And often when things are happening on one nation or the other, there seems to be a correlation prophetically between us. And in 1897, some of you will know and some of you may not know, 1897 was the first Zionist Congress which mooted the idea that the Jews could have a homeland of their own. And it was held in Lucerne in Switzerland. And that was like just Jews from all around the world came together and said for the first time in nearly 1900 years, they thought perhaps it's possible that we could again have a land of our own. And that was the last time Tongariro had a spit. And when I say New Zealand's tied to Israel, like when in 1917, you know that Australia and New Zealand had a big part to play in releasing the land of Israel as part of the Anzac forces. And so there's a whole lot of stuff. There's all sorts of stuff. I mean, I could go on for days, and you don't really want that, so I won't go on for days. But the truth is, you just have to understand that there's some connection going on here. So to me, again, at the base of the Waikato River, because actually the waters that run off Tongariro, some of them go towards the Whanganui River, but some of them actually run this way. And that bit that just went past a minute ago came off the slopes of Mount Tongariro. And so God's up to something. There's a rumbling at the base, at the source, and there's a call at the mouth. And God is saying to the Waikato, get ready, get ready, get ready, because something is about to break out. And this explosion can happen at any moment. See, volcanoes are very unpredictable. You know, I thought about becoming a volcanologist when I was at school, but I thought that everybody thinks they're daft. Because how do you predict when a volcano is about to have projectile vomiting experiences? You know, like, you just don't know. They just burst out at any moment. They can rumble on for years, and they can rise in temperature and go down in temperature, but something's about to happen. Watch. Okay. So when the Holy Spirit comes like that, it's actually like holding on to a high voltage wire. You know, when he comes in that sort of power. Those of us that have been around for a while have had seasons, haven't we? When Holy Ghost has come and all we can do is go like this, because his power is so amazing. I'm actually looking for a time like that at the moment. Oh, stop it. Looking for a time. I just need another zap like that, because actually one zap like that keeps you going for about 15 years. And I'm just about ready for another zap. Hallelujah. And I believe that New Zealand is in for a zap, and that you're about to get zapped. In Acts chapter 2, there was a group of 120. Jesus himself said to them, look, I'm going to the Father. I want you to go and wait in the upper room, and you know, like, and the Holy Spirit's coming. They all said, oh, okay. Like you would have, because that's what Kiwis do. Jesus says, go and wait in the upper room, and oh, okay, we're all meeting tonight in the, not, I mean, this is not an announcement, but we're all meeting tonight in the age concern, what is it called, age?
Celebrating.
Celebrating age lounge, and age concern, yeah, I'm very concerned. And Jesus said to go and be there, and he said, the Holy Spirit's about to turn up, but we'd never seen the Holy Spirit. Some of you can relate to that because you came from a... I didn't come from a Christianity that didn't know Holy Spirit. I got born into the Holy Spirit and I didn't know any different. But some of you have come through traditional churches or churches that were even opposed to the power of the Holy Spirit. Hey, Trish! and now look at her! and it's like... But, you know... Because they didn't know any, they didn't know what he felt like. They didn't know what he tasted like. They didn't know what he, you know. If Jesus said to you right now that you need to go and wait somewhere because the Holy Spirit's coming in a new and a fresh way, what does that look like? Those 120 had no idea what was about to happen. But the Master had said, something's about to happen. And you need to position yourself in a place where you can be, when he turns up, you're going to get zapped. And they thought, well, what does getting zapped feel like? Because he hadn't really zapped anybody up to this stage. Jesus, I mean, they'd been with Jesus, and what a privilege that was. And they'd seen Jesus do amazing things. They'd seen Jesus, who it says in the scripture, the Spirit of God was in without measure. So this Jesus had shown them what it was like, but they didn't know in themselves because they hadn't yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so 120 were waiting in the upper room. You can just imagine, oh, God, we don't know what's happening, but we have this. Because Joy and I have just done a teaching at Horizon where I go on prophetic intercession. And it's like one of the questions I asked was, you'll all have a trigger in you when the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you or he wants to do something. You have a trigger that you know that something's up. For me, I get really restless. I don't do transition that well. And I get really restless and I feel like Holy Spirit is just wanting to break out and do something. And like, hurry up and speak because I can't take this any longer. It's like, and, you know, I talk to him like that and he doesn't seem to mind. And God will have a trigger in you as well. And I guarantee right now that whatever that trigger is in you, that it's being tickled right now. It's like Holy Ghost is saying something new and something fresh is about to come. You don't know what it looks like. You don't know what it smells like. You don't even begin to understand how good this thing is that Holy Ghost is about to do, but he's about to do it.
Yes.
I was just reading, just before I came down this morning, as I was having a coffee at home, somebody sent me a little, I don't know, 20-page booklet about a revival in Minnesota in 1982. And it's just an eyewitness account of what happened, basically. And there was like 4 years of this, Holy Ghost, you're up to something. Oh, we don't know what it is. It's something. It started off with two and then four and then six, and they just couldn't contain themselves. And they were just sitting and waiting. And some left because they thought after 4 years that Holy Ghost is coming on this. You know, people have been talking about this for 4 years now and it's not going to happen. And But you know what? Trish will have discovered this. I've discovered that actually he seems to turn up late in the end of the evening at an evening meeting where he's been moving quite solidly through the night. But then people get tired and they go home and there's a handful of hungry ones left and then he comes. Why is that? But he does, doesn't he? I have seen some amazing... I never go home. I am always the last one to leave a meeting. Because I have a sneaky suspicion that tonight could be the night. And it's like, even if it's not, I'm not going to miss out. And you know, God's looking for a whole lot of people like that. And so that's what happened in Minnesota. And then it's like just this boom, something broke out. But what started it was this feeling that God was calling them aside, that something was happening. Well, if there's a call at the mouth of the river, and there's something happening in the heart of the river, then I believe right now that God will be expanding the lungs of the river, that's you, ready for the call. Because actually, you know, without the lungs, there's no sound. Without the lungs, there's no life in the blood. Without the lungs, there's nothing. Without the oxygen, there's no powering, you know, the body. That's right, isn't it? You know, from a medical point of view, there's no power in the body without oxygen. Actually, you are dead, yeah. So here we are, 120 of us. Could be that many here today, almost. 120 in the upper room, waiting for Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Ghost. I can feel it in your spirit. I can feel it in this church. I love coming here because there's actually always a sense of anticipation. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And one of these days, he's going to come up and bite you on the leg.
Amen.
And then you're going to know that he's in the house. I mean, you know he's in the house anyway, but we haven't even begun to imagine. The scripture says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. How many love Jesus in this room? Wow, that's about you. That scripture was written just for you. You can't imagine. And the only thing that will prevent that is a mindset that says, oh, this is the way we've always done it. It's not going to happen in this church, so get over it. A mindset that says, oh, you know, he's never come that way before, so no, I can't see that happening. No, that wouldn't be God. No, he wouldn't do something like that. I got hijacked in 2003 sitting in a meeting with 14 other pastors, and God turned up. That's a miracle right there. Because actually, you know what? There was a call from Psalm 133 about God blesses those You know, that, I mean, where there's unity, brother, where brothers are gathered together in unity, there the Lord commands a blessing. It's a place of commanded blessing. If you want blessing, then the 120 were there, what? In one accord, waiting. What was they doing? They were in unity. They didn't know what unity looked like, so they weren't arguing over doctrine. They didn't know what the Holy Spirit looked like, so they weren't arguing about whether this was the Holy Spirit or that wasn't the Holy Spirit, because they'd never experienced Him. They weren't arguing over, you know, a theological point, you know, based on Jeremiah or something or other, whether that was possible for today. They weren't arguing over any of that stuff because actually they had no reference point for what was about to happen. There is no reference point for Acts chapter 2. I mean, there's some Joel, you know, the book of Joel said it was going to happen, but he didn't say how it was going to happen. He just says he's going to do it. I'm going to pour out my spirit. And guess what? Holy Ghost says in the last days, the former rain, which is like the glory of Israel, I know this is a different doctrine than what you've been taught, but not here, but in over the years and the centuries, that, you know, like floating axes and talking donkeys and, you know, manna coming out of heaven and lightnings and, you know, God thundering's voice coming off a mountain, you know, like angels appearing when Elisha says, open his eyes. All that's pretty glorious, actually. That's the former glory. And the latter glory started in Acts chapter 2 when Holy Ghost turned up and he did something fresh in the same way that he did on Mount Sinai, he did on Mount Zion. Mount Zion, Zion if you're Hebrew. He broke open something on Mount Sinai and he came and broke open something on Mount Zion and he's about to break something again on the Kingdom Mountain. God is about to smash into, this is the third day of the church. This is the third age, if you like, of the church. And God is about to bring something new and fresh. And what does it look like? I have no idea. What does it taste like? I don't know. What is it going to feel like? I have no idea, ask Trish. I don't know what this move of God's going to look like. We have Americans coming into New Zealand by the busload, telling us this is how you get revival and that's how you get revival, and we still haven't seen revival. So God is looking for a bunch of kids in this nation who will stand up and say, okay, God, those buses are not working. Give us a bus of our own. Come on, Kiwis, stand up and be awesome. Stand up and move in the awesomeness of God, because something is about to smash. If something smashed open in the center of the earth in Mount Zion in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, then to me it makes total sense that in the ends of the earth, something is about to smash that's going to bring the former rain and the latter rain together. Because that's what this book promises, that it's not just going to be the glory of the former rain and it's not just going to be the glory of the book of Acts. You know, forget trying to do what's in the book of Acts. Jesus himself said, these things shall you do, and greater than these, because I go to the Father. Well, if they're greater than these, it ain't been written in here. Come on. So when people keep saying to me, where's that in the Word of God, brother? I quote, these things shall you do, and greater than these, because Jesus says, because I'm going to the Father. So when freaky stuff starts happening in this church, which it does anyway, but when it really gets freaky, just know it's the breath coming out into the nation. You know, I believe God is commissioning this church, but Hamilton, as the breath. As the breath of this move of God. As the breath. Come on, take it. This is the breath of this move of God. What does it look like? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just, I'm one of the 120 sitting waiting because I've never experienced it before and neither has the earth. This thing that God is about to do. So radical is Holy Ghost. I've read this book from cover to cover several times. You know, it's written by radicals who were inspired by the greatest radical of all. Holy Ghost. He's such a radical. He smashes mindsets. He breaks down barriers. He smashes open mountains. He brings forth streams in the desert. He does stuff that nobody thought was possible because he's God and he can. And if we truly believe that, then we should be quivering right now as part of the 120,000 million, however many it's going to be this time, Lord, because the church ain't going out with a fizz, folks. If your doctrine is, oh, it's going to get really bad. Well, it is. But that's right. We say that, stand up and say that at the top of your voice. Yes, I love it, because that is totally true. The kingdom of God is about to invade the darkness. Do you believe the book?
Yes.
Gross darkness covered the face of the earth and all that stuff, but your light shall shine. Arise, arise. There's a, you know, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You know that's true, don't you?
Yes.
I've only got the first four paragraphs of my notes. They were hit by power when he did come in Acts chapter 2. They were hit by power so strong, so powerful, so amazing that they couldn't get up. They got flattened by the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you that when we were in that meeting in Pukekohe Town Hall in 2003, we all got flattened. Because Holy Ghost came, and even the staunchest pastor in the room, and it wasn't me, who said, the call was, can we agree together that God wants to move in our communities? If you believe that, then you need to stand up. Every one of those 14 pastors that were in the room, and there was a whole lot of, you know, real people in the room as well. You know, the call was, come and surround your pastors and blah, 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 blah. But the moment the pastors held hands and declared in an act of unity, the power of the Holy Ghost came. He came so strong that everybody got flattened. I mean, flattened. I mean, we're not talking catches here. We're talking flattened. We're talking inverted, outverted, sideverted, all over the place. Bodies, arms, legs. Because he likes unity. And he brings a demonstration of his power when there's unity. And I believe that there's such unity, that such a unity is about to hit the nation of New Zealand. Currently, we're all arguing over, you know, which American stream that we should support at the moment. You know, like, and none of that's bad. But it's not the answer. The answer is unity in our own mountain and saying, Holy Ghost. See, the Maori have got something. This is my river. This is my mountain. This is my people. And that, my friends, is what the Holy Ghost is looking for. That sort of unity. That sort of unity. That sort of unity. The call for unity in the house. The call for unity. And what are we being unified over? We don't know. We're just agreeing that without Holy Ghost, this nation's going down the gurgler. Without Holy Ghost, this nation's going down the gurgler. But with Holy Ghost, watch out. Because the moment two agree concerning anything, that's what Jesus himself said. And I'm reminding him of that so often. Lord, your word says, If two agree concerning anything, it shall be done. That's your word, Lord. Trish and I now agree that God is going to move powerfully in this place. Yeah. Trish and Clive and I now agree, so now we're exponentially moving. Trish and Clive and Lynette and I now agree, and I could go right around the room, and we are agreeing now. Yeah. And so exponentially, the power of agreement is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And so it's actually this thing about prophetic intercession that we just done at Horizon is actually what God is wanting his church to do, is actually not come into a place of whinging and crying out for revival, because there's been enough of that. It's actually coming into a place of agreeing with what God has already said. Jesus never did anything unless he first heard it in heaven. He never did anything unless he saw the Father or Holy Ghost doing it. And so why should we be any different? Holy Ghost is wanting a people that will hear from heaven and do it. If you're not hearing, don't do it. As Kathy Walters says, if God's not speaking, go shopping. Well, come on. But the trouble is, we have this overactive sense. I mean, that unless we're doing something, then the kingdom of God is not being expanded in New Zealand. But actually, the kingdom of God is not going to be expanding by your doing anything. What the kingdom of God is going to be, well, no, I'll rephrase that, anything in your own strength trying to make the kingdom of God happen. The thing that is going to bring the kingdom of God about in the nation of New Zealand is seeing what Father is saying in our mountain and doing it, hearing what he's speaking over our mountain and agreeing with it and declaring. So prayer, I believe, in the body needs to change. I'm not talking about your personal prayer, praying for Auntie Bertha and Uncle Sam and, you know, all that. That's just private intercession. I'm talking about when we're coming together corporately now, we're not saying, oh God, if only you would move those dirty, rotten sinners out there, would, you know, I mean, I've been in prayer meetings like that and they make you sick. God is about to change our language. And our language is, oh, Father, Lord, we don't know what this move looks like, Lord, but Father, we hear the cry of the Spirit. And so all we can do, Lord, is come in agreement that, Lord, you're going to move in the lungs of Hamilton, Lord God. You're going to move in the heart of Taupo. You're going to move in the mouth of Port Waikato, which is like Pukekohe and Tuakau. Father, you're going to move in these towns and every other organ on the way, Ngāra Wahia and Huntly and, you know, and other little, or Tokoroa and other towns, Patararuru and Tirau and everything on the Waikato is about to get smashed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Mark my words, smashed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Mindsets are about to be smashed. How you build a church in these towns is about to be smashed. Every town in the Waikato that I know of, everybody's like, oh, it's so hard, brother. The demonic activity is so tough. It's a pastor's graveyard. I know. I pastored a church in Tuakau. I heard it all. I even had Satan come to my door, actually, in a dream. Knocked on the door and said, we don't like what you're doing here. Seriously, he doesn't like it. But that's tough, really, isn't it? Because we're going to do it anyway, not in our own strength, but we're going to come into our mountain. What is our mountain? I don't know what your mountain is, but Holy Ghost has called you into your mountain. And in your mountain, you'll hear the words of Holy Ghost saying, do this, don't do that, come here, go there, say this, do that. So when you gather together, you're coming together because you've already heard the voice of God. And you're coming into that place. See, what an amazing couple you've got leading this congregation to teach you how to hear the voice of God. I mean, you are blessed. A lot of pastors don't even know how to hear the voice of God themselves. They just get it out of books. But right here, you've got people who can hear, and they're gifted to teach you how to hear. And so that's why I believe with all of my heart that this fellowship has the potential to get smashed. By smashed, I mean drunk. By smashed, I mean filled. So that when you're standing up looking over the edge of the corner and it's only 9 o'clock in the morning and everybody going to the swimming pool says, "You're drunk." You can say, "Well, we might be drunk, but Holy Ghost is in town, so watch out." Because now that we know where we're going because we've heard Holy Ghost, you're in trouble. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost. Father, we just call you into this house afresh, Lord. We agree with you, Lord, that you've already spoken into this mountain. We agree with you that, Lord, you've been speaking into this mountain for a long time. And Father, I took heart, Lord, reading that testimony, Lord, where they prayed fervently, Lord, for 4 years in agreement, Lord God, and then you turned up, Lord God. Yeah, thank you, Lord. But Lord, we don't have to wait 4 years because, Lord, we've been going here 7 years. And Lord, it's time, Father. It's time for a move in the lungs. It's time for a move, Lord God. Seven is a perfect number, Lord. You know that. You did it. So, Father, it's time. We're just agreeing with you, Lord. I'm agreeing with you in this house. I'm agreeing with you in this place. I'm agreeing with you in this environment of faith and blessing, Lord. We're agreeing together. And now, Lord, it's getting out of control, Lord, because you promised that, Lord, if any two agree concerning anything, you'll do it. And now, Lord God, we've got more than 10 here, Lord, agreeing with what I'm saying. You're in real trouble, God, because now we're coming into a place of agreement, Lord. And if we totally agree with you, Lord, you are bound by your own word, Lord God, to command a blessing, Father. Are we in agreement that God is going to move in the lungs of the Waikato? Are we in agreement that God is going to breathe in the mouth of the Waikato and in the heart of the Waikato? Are we in agreement that God is about to pour out His Spirit in a way that we have never seen before? Can we agree? Lord, you're in real trouble. Hallelujah. You have to honor your word, because your word says if any two agree concerning anything, it shall be done. Hallelujah. We declare it, Lord God. We agree with your word, Lord God. We're doing nothing more than agreeing with your word that your name will be glorified in the Waikato. Your name will be glorified in every part of the Waikato. Lord, in the streams, Lord God, that run off the mountains, Lord God, beyond Taupo that we can call Waikato, Lord God, and everything between there and the mouth, Lord God. Lord, we're calling in, Lord God, the move that we know has been promised. Father, you've sent, and we're grateful. Plane loads and plane loads of people into this nation who say there's a sense of revival hanging over this nation. And anybody listening to this message in another place, you know what I'm talking about. You've been to those meetings and you've heard prophetic voices from every nation on the earth saying there's something unique about New Zealand. There's something special. So Lord, I'm just calling out the awesomeness of this people. Lord, I'm breaking the inverted pride in this people. I'm saying that, Lord, no longer, Father, should they say, "Oh, we need to get 15 truckloads of people in to tell us what to do." Lord, because, Father, you've used these little nations, Australia and New Zealand and the ends of the earth, Father, in times of war, Lord God, where other nations couldn't break through, Lord God, these Anzac nations broke through. And so, Father, we know that, Lord, you've put something in the DNA of these nations, Lord God, that is a breakthrough. But Lord, we can't do it in our own strength. So we agree with you that it's in your strength and in your glory and in your realms of possibility that this mountain, Lord God, will speak. Hallelujah. 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 I need to say that it's probably advisable in times to come in New Zealand for Christians to take crash helmets and seat belts to church. I have a friend actually who I have a friend who, when God started to move a little bit in Auckland a few years ago, when the Holy Spirit hit him, he would go flying across the room and smash his head against walls. And I mean, you know, you've prayed for people like that, and you know, pray for them, and they almost get launched into space. And and nobody can catch them. Even the greatest catchers in the world, even professional catchers, can't catch people like that, because Holy Ghost is totally unpredictable. So when this guy, you know, he's so hungry for God, but he was actually hurting his head a bit when he was smashing it against walls and, you know, going over five rows of chairs and stuff like that, he started to wear a crash helmet to the revival meetings. Good on him, I said. You don't know what it's going to look like when the volcano of his glorious presence is about to blow on our nation. You don't know what it's going to look, you know, because when something like that blows, it wipes away all sense of dignity.
Yeah, it does.
You know, I've actually been to hospital a couple of times in my life, and actually the one thing about putting yourself in the hands of people who know better, if you like, is you lose all sense of personal dignity. I mean, you have to, because, like, otherwise, you know, like, there's no point in having a false sense of modesty, you know, in a situation where they need to do stuff.
Yeah.
And it just happens. And, like, I don't like it, but it's just a point. And the church has got to come to that place where Holy Ghost is going to do some stuff on you.
Yes.
That's going to take away your sense of modesty and personal dignity, which is an inverted sense of pride. Holy Ghost is there to help you. Come on, Holy Ghost. He's hungry for a move. He is hungry. How hungry are you? Desperate for a move. We're desperate, Lord, in this place. Heaven's population, I want to tell you that when God begins to move like this, heaven's population will go from one spontaneous eruption of praise to another. Heaven is waiting with bated breath for this move of God in the ends of the earth. Heaven is looking in. I love that thing about Michael. I've seen him come to this nation. He doesn't usually go out of Israel. He's here. Well, he's not here right now, but well, he might be. But he's been several times this year to New Zealand. And to me, that speaks volumes. That says to me that something of Israel's future is tied up in this little nation at the ends of the earth. Because Michael is the one who looks after the concerns of Jacob. So if he's there, and if he's here at times, then God has a plan that means this nation is going to have such an infectious pouring out, if you like, in the center of the earth, then it's all on. It's all on, Trish. It's all on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't mind going in shifts. I don't care if we have to go all night. You know, I'm an all-night sort of a person. Hallelujah. And if you're younger than me, then get with the plan. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. If Holy Ghost comes, who cares if you have to go to work? Look, I used to milk cows. Foolishly. No, I didn't. It was good. I used to milk cows many years ago now. But the thing is, when Holy Ghost came, you know, I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It didn't matter if I got home. As long as I got home at 5 to 4, what did it matter?
Yeah,
they liked it. They liked it. So I just want to say one thing, because I need to finish, because I've been speaking long enough and your 60-minute tape is about to run out. Holy Ghost made this statement to me, and so I think it's relevant because he said it. So I'll read it verbatim. He said, "Our souls seek experience, but your spirit experiences." Your soul can lead you to the experience, but it can't experience the fullness of heaven's glory. In other words, Much of New Zealand Christianity is soulish. And so that's not a bad thing, but it's not a good thing either, because if we're stuck in our soulish realm, we never get beyond the feeling. When in actual fact, the feeling is just to bring, is just a vehicle to bring the glory to your spirit man, who is the warrior. Yes. Hallelujah. And this is a nation of warriors. Not warriors, warriors. Come on, we're a nation of warriors. I've got a sword in my hand right now. We're a nation of warriors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. A nation of warriors. Rise up, warriors. Rise up, Waikato chiefs. Rise up, warriors. Come on. Rise up, warriors. Rise up and begin to breathe. Begin to pull in. Begin to bring the breath of God again. Are we agreed that the breath of God needs to come into our nation? Don't get sidetracked over water rights issues in lands. Like Cindy Ruakere actually spoke something very clearly. She's a Maori gal, you know that. I love Cindy. I think she's a voice for the nation. And Cindy says, don't get sidetracked with, you know, thinking, oh, you know, the Maoris are trying to pinch the water. Actually, it just could be the salvation of our nation. Because I'm not speaking politically or anything at this stage. I'm just saying don't get sidetracked on issues that don't matter. They don't. That doesn't matter in this greater scheme of things. What really matters is that we agree with Holy Ghost right now. What really matters is that the breath of God will begin to flow into the lungs. Because at the moment, I've just got this picture in front of me of lungs that are breathing shallowly, you know, like shallow breathing. And when it's like lungs, am I right in thinking that lungs that haven't got enough oxygen probably look darker? Yeah. So everything slows down. And so I believe, take a breath, because you're the people of God and you represent the lungs of this move of God. I want you to breathe in the glory of God, and I want you to agree with Him that He's about to bring the glory of heaven. See, the atmosphere of earth is oxygen, but the atmosphere of heaven is glory. So the more we begin to breathe not out of what we're seeing with our physical eyes or hearing with our physical ears about what's going on in our nation, if we agree with that, then all we'll get is shallow breath. But if we agree with what we hear in heaven and what we see in heaven, that's glory. And so now we're not breathing oxygen, but we're breathing glory. So when you breathe in glory, you exhale glory. And so suddenly the body of Christ begins to take shape in the Waikato. So I make that declaration over this place. Hallelujah. And I'll finish with this, I promise. In 1922, in the Wellington Town Hall, Smith Wigglesworth stood up, and in his sermon that day, he said these words: step out of your soul and into your spirit. And that message is still reverberating across our nation. All I'm doing is hearing something that was proclaimed into the nation in 1922, which saw 2,000 people saved in the Wellington Town Hall, which saw countless people filled with the Holy Ghost, which saw little churches being raised up from one end of New Zealand to the other out of that one visit of a man who had no agenda, because he wasn't invited. He heard from a guy called Fullerton, who was a New Zealand missionary to Denmark. Like, we had missionaries there, I didn't know. But Mr. Fullerton had said to Wigglesworth, he had heard in the spirit that God was wanting to move in New Zealand. Wigglesworth knew not a soul in New Zealand. So he booked a ticket on a steamer and got on the boat and came to New Zealand, thinking that Fullerton was going to be in New Zealand, because that was the arrangement, that Fullerton was going to meet Wigglesworth in New Zealand because he was on furlough. Something went wrong with Fullerton's timetable. He wasn't here. But he wrote to a man, I'm just giving you a history lesson, named H.V. Roberts, and said, can you do something for a man that's coming? And he said, I don't know. I'll meet him at the boat. The first thing Wigglesworth did was he didn't just say, step out of your soul and into your spirit. He walked it. So the first thing he did was he said to H.V. Roberts, can you get a few leaders together? We'll have a prayer meeting. So they got 13, and H.V. Roberts couldn't even go the first day. And Wigglesworth started says, God, come. Guess what? He came. And one by one, those 13 men left the room because the power of God was so strong, they couldn't stand it. Such was the power of the uninvited stranger that had come to New Zealand because he had heard something. No, because Fullerton had heard something in heaven and passed it on to a man who says, I believe that's God. Yeah. Just imagine it. Yeah. If somebody takes hold of a word of God for our nation, how many words have been spoken over us? If just one of you grab hold of that, wow. Says, God, I don't have an invitation. I don't even know how to do this. But Lord, your word says that it's going to happen. And so, Lord, I'm just tabernacling here. And we're coming up to the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm just tabernacling here, Lord. Father, in this place. And I'm believing for a move of God. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Bless this people in Jesus' name. Step out of your soul and into your spirit. Hallelujah. I just finished. I said I was going to finish 10 minutes ago. H.V. Roberts went back the next day because he was able to go that day. So there were 14 people there that next day, 2 times 7. H.V. Roberts was in the meeting. One by one, again, Wigglesworth just says, oh God, you've called us to the ends of the earth. We don't know what you're going to do. Because he was an uneducated man, Wigglesworth. He didn't have good language. He was a plumber. Not that, you know, plumbers are pretty smart these days, but in those days they weren't. Just had to know how to screw a pipe together. Hallelujah. God is good. And so Wigglesworth cried out, and one by one, the pastors had to leave again because the power of God was so strong. This was the move of God that God had planned. I need to finish, but South African. So Wigglesworth said to, what was his name, Duplessis? Yeah, but what, David Duplessis. David Duplessis, who was a minister of God, if you like. And so if you're looking for the prophecy over Australia and New Zealand, it was David Duplessis who Wigglesworth gave it to. And he said, these are the moves of God that are coming. There is a healing wave that are coming. One last move is going to come from the ends of the earth. And it's going to sweep nations like nothing that's ever before been seen on the face of the earth. Wow. That is what I'm talking about this morning. That's what I'm talking about, coming into the upper room and waiting. What does it look like? I have no idea. But God is going to do it.